Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, NFL free agency officially begins today. Well, you could start talking to teams today. You can't sign until Wednesday officially, but a whole lot of shit is going down in the NFL today. But first, let's get into a sport that is actually currently in play right now, and that would be the NBA. Let's start off with the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Not a lot of changes, as usual. I kind of feel like all the teams are going to be what they are. We have a couple of teams that have scratched their way back into the top 10. Who knows how much longer they'll last, but we do have a couple of streaky teams right now, and they're streaking at the right time because we are headed down to the home stretch of the NBA season. If you want to make the playoffs, this is the time of year to be playing well, and there's a couple of teams right now that are pretty hot, so let's get right into it. Number one still remains the Boston Celtics, overall record of 49-14, so they are almost at that 50-win plateau on the season. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games, but this last week has not been good to them. As a matter of fact, a couple of cracks are starting to show within this team. You know, I keep saying with the Celtics, I got to see what happens come playoff time, because they've been a damn good team in the regular season the last couple of seasons, and then fallen short once they hit the postseason. And so we'll see what happens with them. But this past week, they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers in a close one, where Jason Tatum actually had the opportunity for a game-winning shot, and he just missed it. And then they got demolished by the Denver Nuggets earlier in the week as well, and got swept by them for the regular season. So you don't want to be playing games like that against a playoff team like the Cleveland Cavaliers and a potential finals team and the defending champions, for Christ's sake, in the Denver Nuggets. You don't want to be playing like that in the home stretch of the season right here before the playoffs. Obviously, the Celtics don't have any issues making the playoffs, but like I said, you don't want to be going into the playoffs on a cold streak because you will be one and done right quick. So Celtics coming off of a pretty weak week, but you know, still had to put them at the top because they've built up their regular season resume here, and just one bad week doesn't mean they fall. Number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, it was really difficult to not put them at number one since they did beat the Celtics earlier this week. But still, Celtics are almost at the 50-win mark, whereas the Denver Nuggets, who are number two this week, they are 44-20. They're not even in first place in their division right now. So it's kind of hard to put them over the Celtics, even though they did annihilate them. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and Denver's really just been rolling over everybody. They don't have a weakness on this team, and they're getting really hot at the right time. They're not injured, at least not that much, you know, as they're as healthy as you can be at this point in the season. But they did get back all of their worthwhile players, and they just look like a really damn good team, and it's going to be really difficult to take them out in the postseason. So good luck with that. But it was really difficult to not put them at number one. But, you know, Boston's almost at the 50-win mark. And like I said, one bad week doesn't mean I'm going to knock them down in the power rankings. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Oklahoma City Thunder, overall record of 45-19. Yeah, they are actually in first place still in their division over the Denver Nuggets. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they just really have not cooled off. This team has actually been one of the most consistent teams from start to finish this year. Right now, they are first in the league in three-point percentage, averaging about 40% from three-point range. They are right now second in the league, averaging 121 points per game, and they are also second in the league in field goal percentage, knocking down 50% of their shots. So they are just not only tossing up the shots, but they're making them at a high rate. They're scoring at a high rate,
And they just really haven't let up. Every time you kind of feel like the Oklahoma City Thunder is going to fall off, they did lose to the Lakers earlier in the week, but then they just went on a tear right after that. So that's kind of what Oklahoma City's been doing. So it's going to be very interesting to see them in the postseason, whether they're real or whether they're fake. But in the regular season, they've dominated. I don't think anybody has been really more consistent than the Oklahoma City Thunder this season, because they really haven't suffered a down part of the season where every team so far has pretty much had a couple of weeks where you're like, man, are they going to get through this? And yeah, they eventually do at some point, but Oklahoma City actually hasn't had a down point in their season. At least not yet, they haven't. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings, the New Orleans Pelicans, overall record of 39-25. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, also on a four-game winning streak right now. And on that four-game winning streak, Zion Williamson is trucking through everybody. This guy is just getting better and better. I really hope he can hang on for the postseason, because it is going to be very interesting to see what happens in the Western Conference with all these really good teams, with really good players. But the thing about Zion is he's a beast in the paint, and he's starting to get hot with the scoring. So he's really just being the guy that the Pelicans can count on. And they're looking really good right now. So I got the Pelicans moving on up in the top 10 NBA power rankings this week to number four. Then at number five, a team, speaking about moving on up, but this has been probably the most streaky team in the NBA all season long. That's the Milwaukee Bucks, overall record of 42-23. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games, so they seem to have finally found some footing with Doc Rivers as their coach now. They did beat the Clippers twice this past week and just rolled right over them. And then Dame is really just starting to get it going the last couple of weeks. He and Giannis are looking really solid on the court together. They had a really good game the other night, I believe, against Oklahoma City, is who I might be thinking of. Or maybe it was one of the Clippers games. Actually, it was one of the Clippers games. Regardless, they've been really connecting well on the court so far. Defense still remains an issue with them, but scoring is not an issue with them. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 44-21. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games, and a big reason why is Karl Anthony Towns. He has suffered an injury to his knee. He's going to be out at least until the playoffs, it looks like, and he may not even be back for the playoffs because it is a knee injury, and he's just going to be reevaluated at that time. Now, I imagine he's going to do his damnedest to play during the playoffs, because they're definitely going to need him. But ever since he was injured, this team's starting to take a step back. Gobert and Anthony Edwards, they're playing really well, but you could just tell that they're missing that extra bit that Karl Anthony Towns brought out on the court. And I don't know if that's going to be something that takes them down a peg, because they are in a difficult division right there with Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets. Then, of course, they're in the Western Conference just alone. I mean, you've got stacked-ass teams going into the playoffs this year, and then you've got the Timberwolves, and the last thing you want heading into the playoffs is one of your star players to suffer a debilitating injury that keeps them out for a series or two. But that's the way it's looking for the Timberwolves. And you could tell right now that it's a problem for them with this injury to Karl Anthony Towns. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Los Angeles Clippers. Overall record of 41-22. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. And they are also being slowed down by an injury, the Russell Westbrook hand injury. He's also going to be out until at least the playoffs. And you could tell that has taken a significant hit to their offense. And that's pretty much all they've got. Then they've also had to battle through a couple of just minor injuries to, I believe, Paul George. And then they just had the guys sitting down the other night. So then they got stomped by the Bucks. And it just hasn't really been a good couple of weeks for the Clippers. And especially with this injury to Westbrook, you could just really tell that it's taken the wind out of their sails a bit. But they are still in first place in their division and still one of the top teams in the Western Conference. And we'll see what they've got the next couple of weeks. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Dallas Mavericks. Overall record of 36-28. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. And over the weekend, Luka Doncic did it again. He actually became the only player in league history to record six straight triple-doubles in a game. 30-plus point triple-doubles, by the way. This time was against the Detroit Pistons. He had 39 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds. And he has just been on fire. It's really just been amazing to watch. But like I said, it's all about the playoffs with the with this team as well. Are they going to make a run in the playoffs? Are they going to? Is he going to be having 6 triple-doubles in the playoffs, or is he going to completely fade out in the playoffs? Who knows? Right now, Dallas is looking pretty solid. They still are only in the play-in territory, so that's why I'm like, you know, these 6 straight triple-doubles are they are very impressive, but at the same time, it's like, I want to see you do something in the postseason. And they are still in postseason contention, and the more they keep winning, that's a good thing. But this Dallas Mavericks team kind of feels like they're going to be out of the playoffs quick. It just kind of feels like they don't have a lot of defense. It would be nice to see them make a little bit of a run, but only so many teams can make a run in this. And like I said, the Western Conference is stacked right now. You got Denver, you got Oklahoma City, you got the Pelicans, and then you got the, like I said, even the Timberwolves, even though they're suffering through those injuries, they're still a better overall team than the Dallas Mavericks. So we'll also see what the Mavericks have in store for us the next couple of weeks on this this little playoff run here. And then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Miami Heat. Overall record of 35-29. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. But they are basically just like they've been the last couple of seasons. An up and down team who is just up 1 week, streaking high. And then the next couple of weeks, they're streaking low. But they're still there. They're still in line for the playoffs. And they're also that team that you can't count out in the playoffs, because they have that playoff pedigree and they just always tend to take over a series and people start to overlook them, and they are a really good team. So I feel like they could make some noise definitely in the postseason, but in the regular season, they've just been so up and down and up and down, and they were just riding high about a week and a half ago, and now they are back to a losing streak and just not looking that dominant. But still, the Eastern Conference is pretty weak, and they are still one of the top leagues in the Eastern one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings, a team we haven't really talked about the last couple of weeks, and that would be my Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 36-30. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And really, the reason why I finally have cracked them in the top 10 this week, I was debating on it. I was like, well, out of these last couple of teams I could go over, I decided to go ahead and put the Lakers in just because they've actually been doing pretty well these last couple of weeks. This past week, they got big wins over the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So all good teams, all playoff teams, and all top of the league, top tier teams with star players up and down the roster. So, and they were dominating wins too. They weren't just close, like, oh my God, the Lakers just got bye wins. They were dominating wins. And one thing that I really like with this Lakers team right now, at least, is that Anthony Davis has been able to avoid any type of major injury. We cross your fingers, though, because we still have plenty of basketball left to play. But with that being said, he has been playing at a high level right now, especially the last, I want to say, like 3 weeks. He's really been on some. And as a matter of fact, against the Timberwolves over the weekend, he had a historic NBA game where he became the first player to score 27 points, 25 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, and 3 blocks in one game. No player has ever scored that many points, had that many rebounds, plus all the additional stats. And that was the main reason why that we won that game. I mean, he made a huge block at the end of the game to seal the win. And and it really just against Oklahoma City, he had great defense. Against Milwaukee, also great defense. I mean, AD has actually just really stepped it up and looked really solid. And then, of course, you just got LeBron playing at the same level he's always playing at. And then, of course, the role players are also stepping it up as well. You got D'Angelo Russell, who's actually had a really good couple of weeks. And then you also have Austin Reeves, who finally seems to be back to where we expected him to be. Kind of like he played at the end of the season last year. So Lakers are actually looking pretty solid. I'm not saying I've got any championship hopes with them as of yet. I mean, still have plenty of basketball to go when they are also in that play-in territory. But then you really actually look at it, and like I keep saying, Western Conference is going to beat each other up. So I'm expecting a lot of weirdness when it comes to the Western Conference, especially. Eastern Conference, I pretty much just expect the Celtics to dominate. And if they don't dominate, whoever beats them, I feel like it's going to truck on through. So it's going to be kind of like a one-man show over in the Eastern Conference, whereas the West, we just have so many good teams with not only just good teams, but they have top-tier players. You got Denver with Jokic. You got Oklahoma City Thunder with SGA, who still is the MVP frontrunner. And you got the Pelicans with Zion. And then you've got Minnesota Timberwolves with Anthony Edwards and Gobert, because Gobert is playing at an MVP level. You're just not really hearing about it. And then you also have the Clippers with Kawhi. You have Dallas with Luka. And those are just the ones that I mentioned in my top 10. There's a lot of teams. You got the Warriors, and even though Steph Curry's injured right now, and it looks like he's going to miss a couple, he's going to miss at least a couple of games, possibly a couple of weeks. But you look at the Western Conference, and they're just stacked teams with really deep rosters and top tier players. So the Western Conference is going to be a clusterfuck. They're going to be beating the shit out of each other, and I'm expecting some really good playoff basketball. So with the Lakers, I feel like they have a shot, but I still have to see what they've got the rest of this month. But, I mean, what I'm seeing from AD, that means we're a good team. And if he keeps that up, we're playing at a championship level. All right, now let's move on to the NFL free agency frenzy. Like I said, that it officially begins today, where you can start negotiating deals, but you can't actually technically start signing deals until Wednesday. But boy, howdy, that shit kicked right off. I bet you as soon as I'm done with the show, there's going to be some new announcements of signings, because even right before the show, there was a bunch of signings, and a whole lot has been going on in the NFL just in the last day. I mean, over the weekend, we had an accumulation of shit, but now we have just endless things going on right now in the NFL free agency frenzy. We've had some trades, some signings, some retirements, so let's get right into it, beginning with defensive tackle Chris Jones. No surprise here. He ends up re-signing with the Kansas City Chiefs, which of course is an excellent move for them, because he was a huge reason why they even just won that Super Bowl. So, and he really is just legit one of the top defensive tackles in the league, and a guy you really can't let go. Then Baker Mayfield also ended up re-signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Actually just got himself a $100 million deal. So good for you, dude. He gambled on himself. Took a really small contract compared to what you would expect him to get. He kind of just gambled on himself, ended up making the playoffs, and now he has signed himself a $100 million contract with the Tampa Bay Bucks. So great move by both the Bucks and Mayfield on that one. Then we also had the Jacksonville Jaguars. They ended up trading for quarterback Mac Jones with the New England Patriots. Looks like he is going to back up Trevor Lawrence, because obviously he's not going to win that starting job over Trevor Lawrence. But I think that is a good move, good security for the Jaguars, because in this league, if you can't tell, especially off of this last season, you really need some depth at quarterback, because there's a good shot that your quarterback's going to be out for a couple of games, and you need a solid dude back there. While Mac Jones is not that great of a quarterback, I feel like he could step in for Trevor Lawrence if he's out for a couple of games. Then we also had Philadelphia Eagles, Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle. He retired over the weekend as well. And to me, I say thank God, because now the Eagles now, Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelsey both retired over the last week. So I'm thrilled with that as a Cowboys fan. I respect the shit out of both of them. They've both wreaked havoc on the Cowboys the last 10 plus years. So I'm happy to see him go, because the dude has won a Super Bowl. His career numbers are 70 sacks, 16 forced fumbles, 14 fumble returns, and 3 touchdowns. So however many of those he had against the Cowboys, I'm sure plenty of them. I'm going to go out on a limb and say one of those touchdowns was probably against the Cowboys. But regardless, I'm happy to see him go, just because I'm going to be happy to not see him chasing Dak Prescott around all season long. But he did have a great career. He was a great Eagle, and things look like they're going to be a changing in Philadelphia here now that they've lost their top offensive lineman and now lost their top defensive lineman. Things are going to be looking a little bit different up there in Philly. Then Quarterback Russell Wilson, he was not on the free agent market for that long. As a matter of fact, he immediately signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Funny, that was the team I kind of was alluding to and kind of looking at, felt like that would be a good fit for him, good coach. They do have some solid pieces around him. They need to do a little bit more, especially with that offensive line. That's going to be an issue because if you don't recall what happened with the Denver Broncos last year, or actually the last couple of seasons, they did not have a good offensive line and Wilson was running for his life. So we'll see if they're able to hopefully correct that a little bit, but he is going to be in Pittsburgh and it's looking like he's going to not compete for the starting job. He is the starter. It's actually funny. Earlier in the week, it was, no, the Steelers are not going to sign Russell Wilson. They have absolutely zero interest in him. They're all in on Kenny Pickett. And then it's, well, they sort of have interest in him, but he's going to have to compete for the job against Kenny Pickett. When I'm reading both of those headlines, I'm actually, like, chuckling to myself. Like, no, if they're signing Russell Wilson, he's going to be the starter. And why wouldn't they be interested in him? Because the Steelers haven't really been relevant, especially at the quarterback position, since Ben Roethlisberger retired. So this is a good move, I feel like, for both of them. But I just thought it was funny how the narrative was bouncing up and down. And then here we are, he signed and there was no issues, no drama. And they're actually getting a really good deal with him for Pittsburgh, just because they're not signing to him in any major type of contract. It's basically just a 1 year, boom, boom. If you suck, get the fuck out of here. If you're good, we'll see what happens. But he's basically doing what Baker Mayfield did last year. Gambled on yourself and let's see what happens. Then we had Kirk Cousins, also not out on the free agent market that long. He ended up signing with the Atlanta Falcons, which I think has some potential there. I mean, you look at the NFC South, not a very strong division. So Kirk Cousins could actually end up dominating that division with what they potentially have. I mean, on offense, they have some good weapons for him to go with. You got Bijan Robinson. You've got the tight end. I can't remember what his name is right now. Kyle something or other. Pitts. Kyle Pitts. And so they do have some weapons, but I still feel like they've got a lot of work to do. But that is a good move for the Falcons, just because their issue has also been quarterback for quite some time. Then in probably the most shocking news of the day was the Green Bay Packers ended up releasing running back Aaron Jones. And why I think that's weird is because, in my opinion, Aaron Jones is one of the top running backs in the league. I don't know why you would get rid of him. And especially because they just signed him to a new contract, I believe, last year. A really nice one. But anyways, they ended up releasing him, and then they ended up signing Josh Jacobs, the running back of the Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders for the last couple of seasons. And while he's a good running back, he ain't got shit on Aaron Jones, in my opinion. So I think that's a stupid move by the Packers. I know it's saving them some money, but Aaron Jones, a lot more reliable, a lot more consistent than Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is good, but if you just watched what happened this last season, he was not that very good and he was not that consistent, whereas Aaron Jones has been consistent his entire career. So I thought that was very odd. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Aaron Jones now that you have Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones on the free agent market. To me, those are two of the top three running backs in the league behind Christian McCaffrey, basically. So we'll see what happens there. Two versatile guys, but Aaron Jones out there on the free agent market. Don't know what you're thinking, Dallas, but maybe you want to kind of look that way. I'd be cool with Derrick Henry too, but Aaron Jones, that's a good running back right there. And it'd be pretty ironic if he ended up signing with Dallas after the way he absolutely obliterated us during the playoffs. So that'd be kind of funny. But he apparently plays very well in Dallas, so it might be a good idea to sign the dude. But we'll see. Who knows? He's only been on the free agent market for about 5.5 seconds, so we'll see where he ends up going. And then Saquon Barkley, the running back of the Giants, ended up signing with the rival Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll see what happens there. Then the defensive end, Brian Burns, was traded from the Carolina Panthers to the New York Giants. Then Austin Ekeler ended up signing with the Washington Commanders. And finally, defensive tackle Christian Wilkins ended up signing with the Las Vegas Raiders. So that Raiders defense, especially that line with him and Max Crosby, because if you don't know, Wilkins most certainly one of the top defensive tackles in the league. And then you got Crosby on the defensive end, and he's one of the top defensive ends in the league. Whew. They are going to have a lot of sacks in Las Vegas, is my prediction. All right, moving on to the top 10 rankings for college basketball this week. And this is the last week of college basketball rankings because next Monday we will be talking March Madness. Brackets will be set, and that's what we will be talking about. So this is the last top 10 rankings we have for college basketball. And a lot actually happened this weekend. We have the conference championships coming up this coming weekend, but this past weekend, there were some big losses. But the top three remains the same. Number one, still Houston at 28-3. They just stomped Kansas 76-46. It was an annihilation by Houston in this one. They wanted to make sure everybody knew we are for real, y'all. So watch out. And Kansas has been up and down all season, but that was one of their worst losses of the season. Then at number two still remains UConn. They are 28-3 on the season. And then at number three still remains Purdue. They are 28-3 on the season. Moving up big this week to number four, North Carolina. They're 25-6 on the season. They moved up three spots with a huge win over Duke this past weekend. Then at number five, Tennessee took a tumble. They are 24-7 on the season. They lost to Kentucky, so that dropped them down. Then at number six, Arizona also dropped down. They're 24-7 because they lost to USC over the weekend. Then also dropping as well to number seven, Iowa State. They're 24-7 on the season. They lost to Kansas State this weekend. Then at number eight, Creighton. They've actually moved up a couple of spots. They're 23-8 on the season. And then at number nine, probably actually the biggest leap of the week is Kentucky. They're 23-8 on the season. And they've just moved up six spots with that huge win over Tennessee. And then at number 10, we have Marquette rounding it out with a 23-8 record on the season. So get ready for it. March Madness is in 1 week, and I am looking forward to it. So get ready for it. So, and also, just to let y'all know, we are going to have a special bonus episode on Wednesday. Decided I'm going to compile a couple of my top 10 lists that I did last year. And we're going to call this episode The Goats Part 1. And I'm going to have a replay of my top 10 NFL goats and my top 10 NBA goats. So take a listen to that and enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And we will have us a brand new show on Friday.